Off the Ball, GAA.
I actually text Tommy Rooney for tips on how to start a podcast. I was pricing ayahuasca retreats, so I think for the safety of everybody, it's better off just to throw all the headspace into an intercounty game.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Final One Standing by William Hill on Off the Ball. Download the app and play today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
All right, it's time for this week's episode of Final One Standing. Mick and David are with us. We've got Alex on the line as well. Alex, good morning to you. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Looking forward to a pretty busy weekend on the football front. But yeah, all good.
Is this the lowest key massive Sunday game between these two teams that we've had in a long time? For some reason, people are very kind of not that excited about the fact that, you know, we have a massive game coming. Why is that? Anybody?
It's an odd one, isn't it? When you look at the profile of the two teams, Liverpool-Man City used to be, if you go back maybe 5 years now, it was the big game. I guess it's because both of them have shown frailties this season, and the likelihood is that neither of them will win the league, but it's not impossible that City do. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it more than I have done in recent years because of that, because it sort of has a bit of unpredictability about it. Whereas in recent years, it has been a little formulaic, maybe. The big games have disappointed. I think we could see a fair bit of entertainment Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, they're both equally bad at the moment at defending, which means that we should have, in theory, plenty of goals.
Yeah, that's the plan. I would hope so. It's a strange one. I actually personally still think that Man City could go on a run between now and the end of the season where they do put significant pressure on Arsenal. Now, whether that's enough to actually go on and win the Premier League, I don't know. And whether that starts on Sunday, I don't know, because it's not the easiest place to go still, Anfield. I know that Liverpool haven't been as formidable this season. That's there for all to see. But actually, through injuries and everything else that's happened to Liverpool in the last few months, they have settled on a fairly consistent team now, and it's working to an extent. Whether it'll work against Man City, I don't know. But I've noticed that with Pep as well. He's not rotating nearly as much as he would have done normally in seasons gone by. Semenyo's come in and he's playing every single game. Mark Gay's come in and he's playing every game. So Pep goes through these phases where he has his favourites, and I'd be curious to see if he mixes and matches against Liverpool.
I have to say, I think this game really suits Liverpool. I'm blue in the face from saying it about Liverpool City's away form. I just really don't think people are paying enough attention to it. It's like every decent team that they've played this season, the only exception being their performance at the Emirates, where they got a goal and kind of held on, and everyone was very critical of Arsenal for that game. But that was a 1-1 draw. That's a positive result. But other than that, they've gone away and lost to Newcastle. They've gone away and lost to Villa. They've gone away and lost to Manchester United. They've gone away and lost to Brighton. And even last week, you know, they should have beaten Spurs and completely collapsed. And nobody doesn't beat Spurs at the Tottenham Stadium, you know. So, like, this is that's the reason they're not in a title race. And I still think they go to Liverpool. You add that to the fact that all of Liverpool's problems this season have been because of the style of football that teams are playing against them, that Arne Slot is more than willing to talk about and highlight and say, please do that to us. But City aren't the team that are going to do that to them. And Liverpool will be well set up, I think, to play against City.
Yeah, like...
I just think Liverpool are 13-10 at home. You don't get that very often. Man City are 7-4. You don't get that particularly often. And the draw's 13-5. But the opportunity to back Liverpool at Anfield, and not just odds against, but significantly odds against, is not something I think a lot of punters will want to miss.
Yeah, like, it's two wins from their last 38 visits to Anfield for Manchester City, looking for a first league double since 36-37 season. So it doesn't really come around too often. But I think it's kind of interesting. These teams played in November. City won that game quite comfortably at the Etihad, 3-0. Remember, Haaland scored. And like, Haaland's form, I think this game is kind of interesting to look at, where the form of the two strikers. So Ekitike, no one scored more Premier League goals than him since December. And Haaland's kind of Haaland's form has really dropped off quite considerably. He looked kind of supremely confident at the beginning of the season, like he couldn't miss. And now he's just really not at it. Like, he's City have, I think, changed their style a wee bit as well. They're not playing kind of maybe to a strength, not like leaving space for their team to have the ball and kind of counter-attacking. And I think that's kind of contributed to Haaland's poor form. But Ekitike has been excellent for Liverpool. And in a bad, man, I wouldn't say bad, but a relatively, a relatively kind of poor season for Liverpool by their standards, Ekitike has been really excellent. So I think Liverpool 13 to 10 is an unbelievable price for them to win at home on Sunday.
Still, really, this just recent form that Liverpool have been in, I don't know if I'd be spending anybody's money on backing Liverpool at the moment. I do know what you mean.
I just think that they have definitely stopped the complete rot. And they still haven't been playing very well, but I think their issue is beating
mediocre teams
that are below them. They don't have the strategy, I think, at the moment, and certain, maybe it's the dynamics in the team to break down teams that aren't as good as them. But they seem to be able to do it pretty well against the top teams, still, as seen in the Champions League.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't be convinced by them yet until they put a run of four or five games together. And obviously, last week, really good. Fair enough. I think your point, Alex, about City going on a run, if they are going to go on a run, it has to happen really quickly because otherwise it's too late. So they kind of need to win this game this weekend. There is an urgency about that if it's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And you could argue that while Liverpool are an appealing price at home, that this is the year to try and catch them out, as we've sort of hinted at. What I will say is, Semenyo has got a good record against them. He's already scored at Anfield this season, actually, on the opening day, and he really scared Liverpool. And I know that was the opening day, and plenty has changed between then and now. But Semenyo at 12-5 to score any time, doesn't matter what the score is, I guess. But as long as he gets on the score sheet, that's probably the standout for me. He's been boosted as well up to 9-1 to score first in the game. He just looks like... I wasn't sure when City signed him if he'd be a perfect fit, but at the minute he's looking like a really, really good investment. And the fact that he's already been scoring against Liverpool, if I was looking for a bet in that game, that's probably the way that I'd go and leave the result out of it, because it is a tricky one to call.
Mm.
Do these teams still hate each other, do you think? Is there like, are we likely to see a conflagration, fights?
I don't know.
The rivalry seems to be at a lowish ebb because Klopp is gone.
Yeah. Guardiola at Anfield has just had a terrible experience in his entire Manchester City career. Yeah. I think he's had a really poor record there. Interestingly, like, Man City hired a lot of the former Liverpool coaching staff. So like Pep Lijnders is going to be obviously on the bench for City. That's kind of an interesting element to it as well. But City, like, I just don't... I know Semenyo came in and made a good impact, but, like, I don't think there's been enough criticism for Man City and how they've been, considering they've signed two of the best players in the league in Marek Gehi and Antoine Semenyo, and they're still stodgy and inconsistent. And Semenyo, like, will be excellent, and I think, Gehi will be good as well at the back. But, yeah, I think the money that City have spent, and Guardiola looks as well that he's, I don't know, does he have to fight for it anymore?
I don't know. And look, I mean, they've done well in the two League Cup games against Newcastle, obviously, and they're doing that every couple of games. They're still having that performance that makes people think maybe. But what happened against Spurs in the second half? Like, they had Spurs fans singing "Come on, you Spurs" through what was supposed to be a walkout in the 75th minute. You know, it was like they got Spurs' entire crowd going for the first time at that stadium all season. Like, and that's Man City they're supposed to be playing. They're the ones that are supposed to be ruthless. They're the ones that more than anybody are going to like put the foot down when they've got it. And they had them beaten. They had them beaten 2-0 and they collapsed. And Spurs were unlucky not to win the game in the end. That just strikes to me, as a team that's just like not up for it at all this year. And there's something going on. There's some issues there that they're just ready for a collapse at any time.
They try to refresh the squad, but I don't think it's just really worked. You know, and I don't. And I know, Alex, you said they might go on a run, but I can't see a consistent
$500 million.
Yeah,
to refresh the squad, totally different team, and the results are meh.
Yeah, I mean, look at the key players. Like Rodri has been like he hasn't come back to anywhere close to the levels he's been at since the injury. Foden's been really poor. Haaland's been really poor this last couple of games. I mean, not in general, but Yeah, I don't know. Like they need, they've signed these players for a bit, of, like Semenyo and Gehi for kind of a bit of a spark, but like they need a bit more than just those two players.
Liverpool Man City kicks off at 4:30. Stephen Doyle and Graham Gartland on commentary for us. The earlier kickoff at 2:00 is not a London derby, obviously.
8:23.
The 8:23 derby, Brighton versus Crystal Palace. That one kicks off at 2:00. Brighton were one of my potentials in final one standing, but I'm scared of, like, Palace are awful. Right?
Mm. Yeah.
But are they so awful that they won't get up for a game against Brighton?
Don't know. I feel very sorry for Palace fans, given, you know.
Yeah, they won the cup. They're
happy. But that should have been a launch pad. You know, it's an amazing thing that happened to them last season. But what you want is, like, you're a team on your own in South London, one of the biggest catchment areas in the entire country, and. You know, you've been a kind of a traditionally middling to small club. You have this great fan base. You have this great moment. You build this great team with a really good manager. And grand, they're always going to sell Eze. That's fine. You understand that. They're going to sell Elise a couple of years ago. But the way it's just collapsed this year, and even the way they're spending the money now, like, I'm a Villa fan, obviously, as are you, Ger. Like, Gesan was a terrible buy, and Palace got us out of jail after 6 months with us. You know, like, that's... You don't want to see that. You know what I mean? Like that's a bad move by them, spending a load of money on Brennan Johnson. You know, maybe it'll work out, but it just they couldn't get rid of Mateta.
Yeah. And they signed Jürgen Strand Larsen as well.
But like, and they have the two of them now.
Yeah.
You know, brilliant. Like that's just a waste of resources, it seems to me, when you're as stretched as they are. So I just feel sorry for Palace fans. You kind of felt like they were going somewhere, and now it feels like it's back to the same old, same old.
Yeah, so don't pick. Do you pick Brighton final standing?
I don't trust Brighton. Either,
Brighton have been a bit iffy lately, haven't they? Yeah,
and they're like,
I'd leave that one off final one standing.
Yeah, and they're so kind of up and down as well. But you never know. They're a bit like, I don't know, like the French rugby team. You don't know what kind of team is going to turn up. Brighton, like the one week they look like world beaters, the next week they don't. They look very average. So. Yeah, like on kind of the Palace thing is going to be really interesting to see at the end of the season. I have serious worries for Palace, like of them getting dragged into the kind of relegation scrap, which they shouldn't be, but like they haven't, like the last competitive game they've won was...
They were 8-1 a couple of weeks ago, I took a tenner on them.
Yeah, that's...
Like, I think there's a chance.
Yeah, like...
If West Ham had beaten Chelsea, I'd be like, ooh, someone's going to fall here.
Yeah, yeah.
I think West Ham might go on a run.
Have you got Leeds left?
I do, yeah.
They're playing Forest tonight at home, 6-pointer.
But they just got hammered.
I know. And their home form had been so good up until that
Chelsea
point. They were playing Arsenal, who just like dominated them. They're the only team that could possibly dominate Leeds.
Yeah.
Physically.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chelsea probably a good shout, actually.
Anything else from you, Alex, that people should be watching out for over the weekend?
Over the whole weekend, just going back to that Brighton Palace game, by the way. Brighton have drawn every other game that they've played since the start of December. Now, they did draw last time out, which kind of... We'll come back to it next week. But it is worth bearing in mind, given that, like you said, Palace haven't won since that time as well, start of December. And Brighton are just so hard to trust. I looked at Brighton and thought that might be a bet this weekend, because like you, I think Palace are... really stinking the place out at the minute. But I do think Palace will have been helped by the fact that they haven't had as busy a schedule in recent weeks. Partly their own fault. They lost to Macclesfield. They won't have an FA Cup game coming up. They obviously don't have to play any European games at the minute. So I think they will turn it around sooner rather than later. But like you, I think they are at risk of being really dragged into that. Put it this way, I was watching Forest Palace the other day with a Leeds fan, and I said, you want Forest to be winning this, I think. I'd be more inclined to drag Palace into it. I think Forest will probably get out of it eventually, but that is a big game tonight that you mentioned, Leeds at home to Forest. On Saturday lunchtime as well, Man U Spurs. Man U is 6-10 at home, with Spurs at 19-5. I think Spurs are a big price there, not because they're a great side, because they're not, but we saw more in the second half from them than we've seen all season against Man City, and they're better away from home than they are at home. Man U are better than they were, but that price looks so, so short to me.
Yeah. Okay, anything else that we should be aware of this weekend?
In total, we've got so many epic boosts going on. We've got Acca boost, of course, on your winning accumulators. Newcastle Brentford, the tea time kickoff as well on Saturday, with Newcastle at 21-20. Brentford are 12-5. So keep your eyes peeled for the epic boost on that. That'll be live from 9 a.m. on the day of the game. But yeah, looking forward to it, and hopefully we'll see a fair bit of movement as far as the top and the bottom are concerned. I think the next few weeks are absolutely pivotal. If things go to plan for Arsenal and they've got some nice fixtures coming up, they may well be away and gone before anyone else can react.
Yeah, it could be over. Alex, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us this morning. Cheers.
Thank you.
We should talk a bit more about that Man United Spurs game. Mm. Like, at some point they're going to stop winning games. Are they going to win?
Your man needs two more
his haircut.
Yeah, that's as close as he's got, I think, is
it? Yeah.
I have to say, David will talk more about it. I was watching the Villa match when the Fulham game was on, but I was keeping a close eye. Some of the old failings seem to be there, but actually, I don't know, I think actually Spurs might be a good opponent for them this week, not just because Spurs are, you know, not great, but also there is an element of, I think they're United are almost set up for the bigger games at the moment. I don't know.
This doesn't count as a bigger game.
I think it still does. It was the Europa League final last year, of course, you know, one of the great games of our history. And like, you know, it definitely won't be as bad as they were that day anyway, you can guarantee that much. So I don't know, really. Like, I'd actually fancy United to win this game, and I kind of think I would have anyway. Yeah. You know, even without sort of the last couple of weeks, I think United are a good bit of a better team than Spurs. And again, all the Carrick has to do for United to maintain the kind of European qualification is play everyone in the right positions, play a team that makes sense, have some consistency in selection. That'll bring United a certain amount. The next bit then is, can he continue a winning run? Can they do something special is the next question. Mm. But I think the first bit, I think you count beating Spurs at Old Trafford in that now, I have to say.
Yeah, like United have, even with all the kind of the bad vibes around Spurs over the years, his last couple of years, United haven't beaten Spurs since 2022. I'm just looking back at the team, like Ronaldo was on the bench that night for Manchester United. United have a terrible record, obviously, against Spurs in this last couple of seasons in particular, but like generally they've United, you know, famously, Roy Keane, lads at Spurs, and this is a Spurs team that are missing at least eight first team players. Like if you go through the list, like Ben Davies, Pedro Porro, Dejan Kulusevski, James Maddison, Lucas Bergvall, Rodrigo Bentancur, Mohamed Kudus and Richarlison. Doubts over Mickey van de Ven and Romero as well. So like this is a massive opportunity for United to go and win this game tomorrow. I think, yeah, the good thing for United is that they've one game a week. They can pick a consistent team. There's not that many injuries. Pretty much all the players are available back, fit, Barrett, kind of Matthias De Ligt, and Dorgu. So, yeah, the one thing I would be worried for United is Solanke seems to find a bit of form, and he was excellent last week. And that result that Spurs got against Manchester City, like that can propel you onto new things and can maybe put you on a run. So,
I was thinking as well of someone that's been under a lot of pressure, like Xavi Simmons, right? Like, he seemed to be playing with a bit more kind of confidence. And so it's almost like, there's nobody left. There's nobody to drop me for. Yeah. And it's almost like, right, I have a bit of freedom here. I'm not going to be, you know, that sort of feel of an out-of-form striker who's, you know, he's terrible because he's always looking over his shoulder. He knows that 55 minutes comes, I'm gone. I have to do everything in 55 minutes. I don't have 90.
Yeah.
And I wonder, is someone like Simmons looking at the game now thinking like, right, this is a treadbare squad. Mm. I'm the man.
Yeah.
And then he gets a license to be, and then suddenly he plays a lot. He's been really decent in the last few games.
Yeah, like he took the game last week by the scruff of the neck, scruff of the neck in the second half. And we kind of, you know, I've spoken a lot about Frank and kind of on the show in the past couple of weeks, and that squad last week, and we've seen what Romero's comments on kind of Instagram and stuff during the week, like this squad is still playing for Frank. Okay, the coach, or okay, the fans that don't support the coach, quite obviously maybe 95% of Spurs fans, to seem that they don't want Thomas Frank, or even the, you know, the kind of the people that are in charge of putting him there as well. So the players are playing for him, and they do have quality in Simmons, in Odobert, in Solanke, and one of the probably the best signings in the January window was Conor Gallagher. Okay, he's maybe not the most technically gifted footballer, but he's got a great engine in the middle of the field. He made the second goal by being more aggressive and getting to the second ball ahead of the two City players last week, and they obviously crossed it for Solanke's unbelievable finish. So yeah, I think there's definitely things to be positive about the Spurs team, and United won't take them for granted and definitely shouldn't take them for granted tomorrow.
Mick, are Aston Villa going to finish in the top five?
I think they will, just by the amount of points that they have so far and the fact that I just don't trust Liverpool, Chelsea, even to a certain extent United, to just go on like runs of wins. I don't think they're going to finish third at this stage, and I think the injuries are too much, you know, and it's as simple as that. You watched the Brentford game last week and it's like, right, you're playing against the same as trouble they had against Everton at home a couple of weeks ago. You're playing against low block teams and you don't have Youri Tielemans. Like, he's the only one that can unlock. He's not going to be there till April or something like that, so you may forget about him for now. But there is a possibility. Like, Douglas Luiz is actually one of, funny enough, if you kind of think of like, oh, should they have got Gallagher, should they have got Luiz, whatever it might be. Luiz is actually somebody with a brilliant pass in him, you know, and that's actually could suit Villa way better than he suited Forest and so on. But it's got to take a bit of time, you would imagine, with him. But you look at the team last week and you're like, Jadon Sancho, fair enough, he hasn't been terrible. But there's like no other choice. You have to play Jadon Sancho. Yeah. That's not a position you want to be in at the moment. You're arguably, with Luiz only coming into it, they're missing. Onana should be okay. I think he had like muscle soreness, but he played one game and was gone again.
Yeah.
Ross Barkley is only coming back to fitness. You would put Barkley's form before he got injured. You would say that they're missing arguably their top five central midfielders with McGinn, Tielemans, Onana, Kamara, and Barkley.
Yeah.
Like, there's nobody can withstand that, and especially a team that's built as a light squad. So we just have to wait and see. It appears Watkins, I don't know whether he's back this weekend, but it appears his hamstring
isn't
not too serious, and he doesn't look like he'd be out a long time. It looks like Onana, if he could stay fit and just anchor that midfield a little bit, they can build a bit more. Luiz can be more of a creative player if Onana is there. I think Villa will find a way to get results over the course of the rest of the season, and I think it'll be a hang-on job, though. It will be. It's not going to be
in the title race. 6 points clear of Chelsea, who are in
flaky
at the moment.
But they seem to be playing Wolves or Burnley every week.
That's the thing. So Villa are at Bournemouth, 3 o'clock Saturday kickoff. It's actually low-key a huge game for them.
But it's also amazing, isn't it, how much it matters when you play a team.
Yeah.
You know, like, you played Bournemouth 3 weeks ago, you're thinking this is a lovely time to play them. You play them now, you're thinking they're the dangerous trip to the vitality that you looked at the calendar and didn't want.
Yeah.
And it's back to that again. You can get so lucky or unlucky that way.
They've won 5 of the last 7 league games against sides starting in their top 3. So
it's unbelievable.
That's an
incredible stat.
Yeah, and this team, like this Bournemouth team, Areola as well as the coach, they are incredibly dangerous to play against. Don't leave space in behind for them. Like, I think one of the kind of signings from the summer last year is Junior Kroupi for Bournemouth. He's been excellent. 38% conversion rate on his chances, shots to goals ratio, which is like incredible for a 19-year-old. And they signed this lad as well called Ryan from Brazil. Now, I don't watch a whole pile of Brazilian football, but I have read a little bit about him, and he's supposed to be incredible. And he came on against Wolves last week and looked like a superstar. So Bournemouth are still unearthing these players.
The reports from that game suggested, like, I can't believe this guy's in the Premier League. Like, back in the old days when like Zola would sign or something like that, I was like, oh, this guy's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So look, it's a half a game or 20 minutes or something, so we'll see.
But like, I don't know, like, yeah, they seem to have turned a bit of a corner in this last couple of weeks under Raiola. Maybe they're kind of the opposite of Palace. They're going to have maybe a good
He'll be back in the mix for all the big jobs as well at the end of the season.
Villa did win 4-0 at Villa Park against them earlier on the season, but it was a game everything went right in, really.
Yeah. Alright, anything anybody else wants to talk about?
No, Arsenal Sunderland was a great game earlier in the year, but I just don't feel like I just feel like Arsenal I think flipped the switch last week. I have to say, I think they're going to cruise home now.
Yeah, I think so too. I was critical of them last week and got a couple of pelters. But like, I think
they'll be 9 clear of City by the time City kick off against Liverpool as well, because that's the day before, if they win that game.
Yeah, yeah. Like, Arsenal, they're by just going to strangle the life out of them.
When we're talking about whether Villa can hang on to 6, right? Man City are 1 point ahead of them. I think that honestly there's second to sixth anyone can finish anywhere.
Yeah.
And that includes Man City. I wouldn't predict that they're going to drop out, but I wouldn't suggest it's impossible.
No, yeah. And Newcastle and Brentford tomorrow, Keith Andrews, 5:30. Like, this is such an opportunity for Keith Andrews, Brentford, to go and make have another statement the way a win.
Against a team out of form.
Newcastle, like, we can talk about another time, but they have serious, serious problems. And I don't think that, I don't know if the Saudis care. Will Eddie Howe still be in the job next year? I don't know.
If they win at Villa Park and St James's Park back-to-back weeks,
it's incredible.
You have to start thinking about manager of the year stuff, don't you?
Yeah, I know. We were chatting about that in the podcast during the week.
It was until last week.
Forget about it.
But it always goes to
the
manager.
It's like the lineal manager of the year in waiting competition where you...
Arteta will win it, won't he?
Arteta will win it, but...
If he wins the league, he will, yeah.
Yeah, but...
You know. Well, it's easy having 3 teams of top quality, like, you know what I mean? It's not to say that he's not doing a great job, but I do think it's slightly harder to do it with Brentford.
Yeah, every time Brentford have a negative result, they bounce back and have a good result, generally. So
negative result this week.
I guess so.
All right. That's this week's version of Final One Standing. Hope you're still standing in your league, wherever it's going. We'll see you next week. Take care.
The Final One Standing by William Hill on Off The Ball. Download the app and play today. 18 plus gamblingcare.ie.
Off The Ball. GAA.
I actually text Tommy Rooney for tips on how to start a podcast. I was pricing ayahuasca retreats, so I think for the safety of everybody, it's better off just to throw all the headspace into an intercounty game.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.